Father, as always, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I give you glory and honor as we finish up this book of the law, the book of your testimonies, the book of your statutes, and the book of the word of the Lord. Ah, Lord, we thank you. Long book filled with many gems about your word. Now, let the entrance of that word into our hearts today bring the light. Hallelujah. And shine with grace in our hearts and give us understanding as well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, let's go through this. I'm going to start at verse 113. If you missed the last 2 days, please check out the replays. We started at verse 1. We've made our way through verse 112. And today I'm going to, by God's grace, cover the rest of the book, starting at verse 113. And here we go. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. And this is the way he puts out, you know, these writings throughout this book. You know, he might say some negative thing which shouldn't be there, but right away he turns right back into the word. Thou art my hiding place, he said, and my shield. I hope in thy word. That's a good one to memorize as well. Psalm 19, verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word. That's a prayer that I may live. That's how we have our life, is the word of God. He said, Lord, uphold me according to thy word that I may live. Isn't that powerful? And let me not be ashamed of my hope, which is in the Lord. See, the hope that he had in the Lord, it's also in his word, you know. Praise God. Hold thou me up, and I shall be saved. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. This man was always passionate about the word of God. Thou hast trodden down all them that do err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like drops. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of the Lord, and I'm afraid of thy judgments. Well, people have forgotten that sometimes, but when his judgments are in the earth, you know, people will learn righteousness one way or another. Never forget it, that our God is indeed a consuming fire. Now, because of his love and everything, you know, sometimes we tend to forget that, but he will not go against his word. Even if he loves, even as much as he loves us, he's also a holy and righteous God. You know, so let's never forget it. Yes, he's a God of love and righteousness and faithfulness and mercy and all of that. But he's also a God of judgment, because he will not go against his word. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29. Our God is a consuming fire. Now, verse 121. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to my oppressors. That's a good prayer. You know, as long as your heart is upright before the Lord, you know, that's a good, good prayer. Be surety, Lord, for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. That's always a good prayer. Anytime anything is going on, turn your prayer and direct your prayer towards the Lord. Don't face people. Face the Lord and pray and say, well, Lord, don't let these wicked people oppress me. You know, don't let the proud, you know, have a field day over me. My eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. How this man loves the Lord's testimonies and his righteousness. How he loves the salvation of the Lord. He's always looking. He said, the Lord is my salvation. He has also even become my song. I will exalt him. He's my father's God. And so on and so forth. Now, deal, O Lord, with thy servant according unto thy mercy. And teach me thy statutes. This is the reason why the Lord loves this man. You know, because he always wants to know what's in the mind of God. You know, those are his statutes. You know, how does God want to do things? You know, and so on. You know, and in the word of God. And this man always wanting, always praying. Deal with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Now, that's a good prayer. You know, always having understanding. That's why I say it every day here, the entrance of your word. We're going to come to it in just a few verses here. You know, understanding is so key. Jesus in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, the seed that fell on the wayside was, and you know, the birds picking them up. Jesus explained and said, because the person that heard the word of the gospel had no understanding. Therefore, the devil came and picked it from their heart. So it's very important for us to pray even for understanding. That's why I say it every time we bring the word of God. He says, it is time for thee. Well, it's always time for thee, Lord, to walk. That's right. For they have made void thy law. Wow. You know, think of the nations of the world. You know, I live in the United States with my family. And this country has made void the law of the Lord. I mean, they spit in the face of righteousness. And couldn't care about anything that's even wholesome. You know, they bring all these imaginations continually, you know, try to, you know, grieve the Lord to his face by all their ways. But the Lord will give them up, the Bible says, you know, so because they choose not to retain God in their knowledge, turn their backs against the Lord, then the Lord will also give them up. The only thing that's holding us up is because of the saints that are in this country still praying. But it's not only this country. I'm only speaking, you know, I'm calling out and indicting the United States of America. But it's against the entire world. You know, people have turned their backs against righteousness, you know. Now men marry men, women marry women, and it's all kinds of things carrying on. Even they marry animals and do all these things. It's crazy stuff. You know, it's like animal kingdom out here, you know. I mean, it's, but I tell you what. The handwriting is on the wall. That's right. The handwriting is on the wall. America, you better repent, and the rest of the world with it too. You know, so, but let the people of God who are in here, don't get carried away with all these things. You need to be crying and sighing for the abominations that are done in the land. That is how God's going to set you apart, according to Ezekiel chapter 9. God will indeed set apart those who are grieved by these things. And when his destruction will follow in the wake of that, you know, he will separate those who have been set apart and had a mark from God. Those that have a mark from God will not receive the mark of the beast. You know, either going to receive the mark of the Lord, you know, which is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, or some other mark. You know, so, but this is a people and a nation that chooses wickedness above righteousness. There are a lot of good people in this nation, but unfortunately, the wickedness seems to be having the upper hand, but not for long. Hallelujah. God will always have the upper hand, no matter what. And so, in fact, the devil, you know, he tried it, you know, Lucifer did, but tried to create an insurrection in heaven. But, well, he managed to get a third. But see, that's the ratio. That's the best he can get. You never get more than a third anyway. So the Lord always has the majority. And at the end of the day, in Revelation 7, you can look. John said, I looked as far as the eye could see, you know, a group of people that could not be numbered. you know, like the sands of the sea. Well, they're coming out of that great tribulation, but they'll be there. The Lord always has more people. There's never any way that the devil is going to win. He would never win. He's a loser and he's going down to hell. But people of this country need to repent. Repent, for the time is at hand. You know, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold. My goodness. Can you say that? Can you that are in this room this morning say that you love the word of God above even your salary, above your job, above everything? What does that mean? Well, that means, you know, if you have to stand up for the name of the Lord versus, you know, losing your job because they say you can't do that, you can't talk about Jesus. Well, which one will it be? What's it going to be? This man said, look, I love your commandments above gold. Yeah, above even fine gold. Well, you know, let's challenge ourselves with that this morning. A sister came out here and gave us a testimony how she had to stay with her testimony on her job. And they, you know, and they wanted to get rid of her and try to suppress her. She said, well, you can have your job. This is what I will do. You know. So can we say we love the Lord and his word above gold, above our job, above whatever gain we think we have? You know, are you willing to count everything, you know, for loss to gain the excellency of Christ? Well, this man said, I am. You know, said, I love thy commandments above gold, even above fine gold. And he said, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things. That's right. Not just, see, Paul told Timothy, you know, do nothing by partiality, you know, but hold fast to all things. Don't pick out some part of the word of God that you like and then some part that you don't like. That's not going to work. You know, he say, look, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false thing. Every false thing said I hate. Praise the Lord. So this is a powerful, powerful declaration from this great man. You know, and nearly every verse, he speaks about contrasting something that's contrary against his desire for the word of God. Thy testimonies, verse 129, are wonderful. What is a testimony? We covered this several weeks ago when I talked about, you know, don't wait until everything is done before you give a testimony. Give your testimony. Testimony is a declaration. You know, that's why he uses this word testimony over and over again. It's not like what we always think. You know, sometimes we think of testimony when the Lord has done something, then we come and testify, which is good. But you can test anytime you repeat the word of God. That's testimony. You know, when you go to the court of law, you say, is it your testimony that such and such? And you can say, well, you know, so you testify. They can bring in also what they call expert witness to testify on the subject matter, you know, and so on and so forth. And, you know, sometimes when the opposing counsel is actually leading the witness and trying to put words in their mouth, this one counsel can say, objection, Your Honor. Counsel is testifying, you know, because he's not supposed to do that. You know, ask the question, let the witness testify. You know, don't put words in his mouth. You know, I don't know whether you guys have seen those law shows. I love a good argument. I love a good law show and things like that. But anyway, you know, that's how they do it. So testimony is, you know, declaring your something. Might be your stand, might be your understanding of something, might be your recollection of something or whatever. So when it relates to the word of God, it's your declaration of his word. That's right. Everything God said, you know, in fact, did you know that you know, the commandments are also called testimonies, you know. And when in the old days, I don't have time to teach you a lesson on this, but in the old days, when the prophet would anoint the king, you know, there are a couple of things they would give him. They put the anointing oil on his head, of course, you know, the crown and everything. And they would give him the, what they call the testimony. They give him the testimony, which was the Torah, you know, the writings they had in those days. They would give it to him also, because he was supposed to uphold the law. And it was called the testimony. You know, so they gave him those three things, the anointing oil, the crown, and the testimony. That's how they anointed, you know, a king. You know, testimony is the word of God, just so that's clear to us. Now, my favorite verse, the entrance of thy words. Hallelujah. He said, giveth light. Well, let me read that 129 again. I think I didn't read the last part. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, and giveth understanding unto the simple. So every time you heard me say that, just about every single day, when I want to preach, I say it here, I say it at the church. You know, I love to quote this verse. It's actually an inspiration to me, you know, get me going like that. You know, because I say, well, you know, shine that light. And he does, you know, shine that light. You know, sometimes by the inspiration of the Almighty, you know, the Lord will bring things that I wasn't even thinking about, you know, and, but it's always according to the word, you know, and the Lord will just bring, it's called understanding, you know, and then you can look at a scripture like that and the Lord will give you understanding, you know, in, unpacking it and breaking it down and so forth. Yeah. It's the Lord that does it. And it gives, you know, light. It shines a light on our ways. That's why I always say it. You know, so this is a good one to learn. So next time you hear me say it, now you know where I got it from. Psalm 119 and verse 130. My favorite. I opened my mouth. See, and panted. I longed for thy commandments, you know, as a heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my heart after thee, O Lord. I mean, this man, you know, everything is about him getting more of God. That's what he always wants, you know. Praise the Lord. I want more of God, you know. I want the Lord, you know. I just want more of his righteousness and everything. Praise the Lord. All right, let's keep on reading. Look upon me. No, sorry. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Well, the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. You know, some people think otherwise. But this man, he loved the commandments of the Lord. And Jesus said it this way. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. So that's how it works. You know, Jesus commands, and we do. That's it. You know, you can't argue with the Lord. In fact, I said it one time this way. I said, well, if you don't like the way the Lord does his things, you can move to another universe. But in this universe, the Lord is king, and his word is supreme, and what he says goes. And if you say no, well, one way or another, you are going to bow to that name of the Lord Jesus. Every knee shall bow, one way or another. You can do it willingly now, you know, or by the rod of iron, one way or another, every knee will bow. That's right. You know, this word is in the Bible and it will not fall to the ground unfulfilled. Every knee will bow. You know, so when Jesus says, you are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you, well, you know, that's something that is so important. You can read that in John 15 and verse 14. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Also in John 14 verses 21 to 23, another favorite of mine, I say it all the time. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me, I will be loved of my Father, and I will come and make our abode with him, and will sup with him, and so on. All these things. Now, you know, there's a song that says, I am a friend of God. Well, are you? And every time I hear that song, I just say, well, you know, that's what you think. But if you do not keep his word, you cannot be called his friend. John, according to John chapter 15 and verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So that's a big if. So let's not claim to be anything if we're not doing the word of God. You know, do his word, and then you're in the category, you know, that he says, yeah, my friends. And I said, look, I call you no more servants, but friends, you know, because, you know, a servant does not know the will of the master. But I have revealed to you, you know, all things that I have heard of my Father. Therefore, now I call you friends. In that same verse, you can read it and read the rest of the conversation there. You know, but at one point in time also, he says, look, you know, friendship, that's good. But now I want you to come into sonship. That's right. Because a friend and a servant abided not in the house forever. You know, any friend comes to your house, they can't stay there forever. But a son, you know, he's a, you know, he owns the inheritance. It's his house. He'll be there forever. Glory to God. You know, and Christ as a son over his own house, you know, better than Moses. The comparison was given to us in the early chapters of the book of Hebrews. We covered that some months ago. You know, so, you know, now we see that we are his friends if we do what he commands. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Look thou upon me, O Lord, verse 132, and be merciful unto me, even as thou used to do to those that love thy name. Hallelujah. The Lord's always merciful to those that love his name. Order my steps. Now, verse 133 is another one you should memorize. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Hallelujah. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps. Well, how are you going to do it? Well, by taking heed according to the word of the Lord. You know, that's what the Bible says. And when I was a young man, you know, one of the first things that, you know, we began to learn, you know, after, you know, being brought to the Lord, they used to hammer these things. Let not sin, you know, reign in your mortal body. In fact, we had a song, we used to sing it, you know, out of, you know, Romans 6 and verse 12. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, you know, and so forth, that you should not, don't obey the desires. You know, let not sin reign as king in your mortal bodies, but submit every beat unto Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, I can't remember the song, 50 years or so since I sang it, but something like that. You know, don't let dominion, don't let iniquity have dominion over me, Lord. And we, you know, on our own also must not allow iniquity, you know, to reign in our body. So order my steps in thy word, O Lord, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You can parallel that with the book of Romans. You can parallel that in chapter 6 of Romans, you know, verses where he was talking to them about, look, don't continue in sin and all these things, you know, verses 11 and 12. Powerful, powerful scripture, Romans 11, 6 and 12. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin, he said, shall not have dominion over you. That's right. This is what this man is saying here. Let not iniquity have dominion over me. Amen. Deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, O Lord, and teach me thy statutes. Well, that's the same thing that he's saying. He said it in verse 124. And he's saying it again here. Teach me thy statutes, you know, and so forth. You know, rivers of waters run down my eyes. You know, well, he's crying and so forth because he wants to be straight with God, you know. And he looks at the iniquity that's done all around him and it grieves his heart. And he said, well, because they have not kept thy word, therefore I cry, you know. Righteous art thou, O Lord, Psalm 130, verse 137. And upright are thy judgments. Did you know that all the people in the book of Revelation, we eventually declare that, you know, everyone that hated God, they're going to say, righteous are your judgments, O God. When the Lord puts that, you know, whore and the harlot, put her down and her hallowed children and destroys all of the this mystery of iniquity, people eventually say, righteous are thy judgments, O God. They will do it too. You know, so you cannot go up against the Lord, you know, when he sits upon that throne with the fiery eyes, can't do it, you know, and they will find out and say at the end of the day, you know, righteous are thy works, O Lord. In fact, one time they will say, fall upon us, let the rocks fall upon us, hide us from the face of the one that sits upon the throne. Well, you know, now is the time for you to fall upon him before he falls upon you. So, you know, let's fall upon him now because, you know, if you fall on him, he will save you. But if he falls on you, he'll grind you to pieces. That's what it says in the book of Daniel. But right now, you know, let us fall upon the Lord. Verse 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal, you know, this man had a lot of zeal for the things of God. My zeal hath consumed me, because my enemies have forgotten thy words. I mean, this thing used to prick him to the heart. Even when people did not praise the Lord, it pricked him to the heart as well. I mean, when people are in sin, it pricked him to the heart. He said, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the sons of men. Psalm 7. He said it in multiple places there. Oh, and there's a song we sing like that. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. I mean, that oh right there was a lamentation. He lamented because people wouldn't do it. And it bothered him a lot, you know. He said it in Psalm 107 verse 15, said in a few other places, verse 21 of the same verse and so forth. And also, you know, verse 31 of the same verse. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So his zeal is always like that. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Well, does not the scripture say every word of God is pure? That's right. Every word of God. And it's also, you know, 2 Timothy 3 and 16. It's also profitable for a lot of things. It is profitable for instruction in righteousness. It is profitable for reproof. It is profitable for doctrine, you know, and just profitable all around. And every word of God is pure. And man shall not live by bread alone. You know, God said it right from the beginning. You know, he said it in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. You know, man shall not, you know, live by bread alone. You know, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And Jesus quoted that back to the devil when he was trying to tempt him to make stones into bread. It's not that Jesus couldn't do it, but he wouldn't do it for the devil. That's right. The Lord not do anything for the devil. See, so, you know, be careful now. And people are trying to make you do something that's contrary to the word of God, even though you think, you know, you can do it. Don't do it. If its suggestion is coming from the devil. the book of Proverbs, you know, so the Lord said, every, you know, word of God is pure. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure, you know, and he's a shield to them that put their trust in him. That's a good one to learn also. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. It's a, you know, you can, can put it right here into verse 140. They go together. The word of God is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Well, Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. And it's a shield to them that put their trust in him. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precept. Did you know that he was despised and rejected? But he was the one that was chosen. When Samuel was told to go and coronate a king from one of the sons of Jesse, David, who was to be the king, was not even invited to the coronation ceremony. You know, and after they paraded all the other six, starting from Eliab and all the rest of them, you know, and they, you know, the Lord rejected every one of them. And they finally said, well, Samuel said, don't you have one yet? Because the Lord has not received any of these ones. He said, oh yeah, David, he's always by, the bush with his sheep and always playing his flute and everything. I don't know. He doesn't, you know, care about these things. All he cares about is the sheep and playing music. He said, well, we're not going anywhere today until you call him. Go call him. So he was despised. He was rejected. Yet he was the chosen one. Hallelujah. I am small was the least. I mean, the youngest of them all. You know, I am small and despised. But he said, look, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. And thy law is the truth. You know. Trouble and anguish have taken a hold of me. Well, okay, let me stop there. What is the truth? Jesus said in John 8 and 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I often say to people that, look, it is the truth that you know that can set you free. The truth by itself doesn't set anybody free, because that's the way Jesus put it. You have to know the truth in order for it to make you free. And, you know, this verse right here is telling, I was going to jump right over it, and the Holy Spirit said, you know, go read that one. You know, so this verse right here is telling us what is the truth. He said, thy law is the truth. And that's his word, you know. And Jesus, in his prayer in John chapter 17, he was praying the same thing for his disciples. He said, look, I have declared unto them thy name and so forth. You know, I've declared unto them thy word and so forth. And he also said, you know, thy word is truth. You know, so thy law is truth. This is very important. Let that sink in, you know, into our hearts for a minute. Everything about, if you want to know the truth, the truth is in the word of God. That's the truth. You know, one time Jesus was standing before Pilate and so on. He said, well, yeah, I come to give witness to the truth. And he said, what is the truth? He couldn't handle it. But Jesus said in John 17 and 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. It was a prayer. He prayed the Father for the saints. And sanctify them through his your truth. You know, thy word is truth. So the same thing that this man is saying here, you know, he said, thy law is the truth. The law is the word of God. So let's correlate that in our minds. Trouble and anguish have taken a hold of me, you know, yet thy commandments are my delight. This man, rather than grumbling when he's in situations that are not wholesome and distressing or even tragic, he remembers the commandments of the Lord. And he said, yet your commandments are my delight. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Now, that's a powerful one to also memorize. You know, Are you kidding? Are you telling me that understanding will give us life? Well, absolutely. You heard it, you know, from the man. You know, give me understanding and I shall live. Psalm 119, verse 144. I cried with my whole heart, he said. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning, and I cried. Well, that means, you know, I got up ahead of the dawn. Yeah, that's what he's saying here. I cried, I hoped in thy word. My eyes also prevent the night watches, you know. And he's going to be in prayer 7 times a day and more so. He'll be in prayer crying unto the Lord for one thing or the other. You know, my eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Now, we talked about meditation the other day. This is what it's all about. You meditate the word of God in your heart and then you speak it with your mouth. That's how it works. And then the Lord said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Well, first, you consider it in your heart. You meditate upon it. And the Lord will give you understanding. And then you speak that word from your mouth and stay right with the word. Hallelujah. You know, it says, Lord, hear my voice, O Lord, according unto thy loving kindness. That word loving kindness can only be used for the Lord. You know, hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. I mean, powerful, powerful prayers as we go through this Psalm. I mean, verse 150. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from the law of the Lord, you know, but thou art near. Hallelujah. O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Again, thy law is true. Jesus said it, John 17, 17. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Founded the testimonies? Absolutely. It's the word of God. The word of God has been from of old, from of everlasting. And today we have the privilege to have that word in so many different forms. Written word, electronic word, every which way you can. But be careful now. You know, there's many versions today that translations have lost many of the original. And it is good. And sometimes people read different translations and it can help you, to give you understanding. But some of these translations have taken, you know, the truth out of the word of God. You know, when I was a young man, I think I was about 18 or 19. I was in maybe high school or so. And a friend of mine and myself, we did a study back then, a comparison of some of these Bible versions. And they didn't have, I mean, you're talking about, you know, 1972 or something, you know, they didn't have many of these versions they had today, but they had a few. And we looked at some verses, some key verses that, where they had subtly, very subtle, taking away some things, places where, you know, some references where it talked about the blood of Jesus, and they just replaced it with the death of Jesus. Death and blood is not the same thing, ladies and gentlemen. You know, for in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to Colossians. Some versions remove that blood. They just say, well, the death. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Blood is very important. We cannot sweep it under death. You know, it was his blood, actually, you know, that, you know, cleansed us. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Anyway, that's not my subject today. But suffice to say that, look, you know, learn the word of God and do the best you can, you know, but always be sure that nothing is lost in the translation when we read all these other versions. Concerning, he said, look, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Now, let me go to Psalm 1, verse 153. I'm going to try to finish this today. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Well, the reason it's far from them, it's not because, you know, of anything other than the fact that they don't seek unto it. You got to seek to find. Hallelujah. But they can't seek if they don't know what to seek. You know, how can they learn when there is nobody to teach it to them? You know, how can they believe when there is cannot hear the word of God? That's what Romans chapter 10 says. You know, so the preaching of the word will help them to understand and give them, you know, the grace. You know, if they have the understanding, then they have the grace. You know, salvation is far from them though, because they do not seek thy statutes. For we must declare the statutes of the Lord. It's our responsibility. I mentioned yesterday, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. This was a verse that the Lord gave me as a young man, maybe around that 1972, 73 time frame, you know, and I kept it in my heart. Ezra, you know, determined in his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. You know, that's number one. You yourself must seek it and do it. And then to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You know, so these people cannot know the statutes of God if we don't teach it to them. You know, so, you know, it's important for us to testify of the word of the Lord to people that are in darkness. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies. You know, so he said this multiple times. They persecute me, they do this, they do that, but yet do I not forsake thy precepts? Yet do I not forsake thy testimonies? Here he says, yet I do not decline from that. He's always turning to the Lord. He doesn't focus on my enemies doing this to me or this. And yeah, they're doing it, but I'm gonna cling on to the word of God. Now that's a lesson for all of us. Cling on to the word of God, no matter who's trying to afflict you or this or that. Praise God. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved. Well, are you grieved when you see the things that are around us today? Or, you know, we just go on. You know, when we just go on like that, the Bible says in Amos chapter 6 and verse 1, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. When we are at ease, nothing bothers us. You know, we're in a state of apartheid already. You know, we don't care about the state of the world. Nothing grieves us and so forth. That's not a good place to be. This man said, well, I look at all the transgressors and the evil they are doing. It grieved my heart because these people have not kept thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts and quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Can you say that in your prayer? Can you say to the Lord, consider how I love your word, how I tremble at your word? The Lord said in Isaiah 66 and verse 2, this is the man, you know, to whom I will look, he that is of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Do you love his word? Hallelujah. Well, let's read verse 160. That's another one you should learn. Thy word is true. Remember, we've been talking about his word is true. From the beginning, you know, it's not, look, and the word of God will not change. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. His word is true from the beginning. Praise the Lord. Now, princes, he said, have persecuted me without a cause. For my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Now, every time he talks about oppression, people, his enemy doing something to him, his answer is always, I will look to thy precepts. I will stand in thy word. You know, that's always his answer. He never tried to go up against, you know, his enemies with his own, you know, this and that. You know, he would always have, you know, respect unto the word of God. Hallelujah. You know, one time he had an opportunity, you know, to kill Saul, but he didn't do it. And he could have done it. You can read, you know, 1 Samuel chapters 24 to 28. In those 4 or 5 chapters, you know, David had opportunity a couple of times, you know, to kill Saul, who was his enemy. But he wouldn't do it. He said, look, I'm not going to put my hands against the Lord's hand. How many people can actually do that? You know, I mean, in fact, his servants told him, wow, the Lord has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Because Saul was holed up in a cave and they saw him, and the Lord had put a deep sleep upon all his servants. That was a test for David too. The Lord put all his enemies to sleep so he can go in there for the kill. Yeah, it was a test. The Lord put a deep sleep on all the servants and all the guards and everything that were around Saul. And, you know, so they were wide open for the kill. And as David's servants told him, well, you know, today is a day of joy. The Lord has put the victory into your hand. Rise up and kill. You know, get rid of your enemy once and for all and take possession. And David would not do it. He wouldn't do it. He said, I will never put my hand against the Lord's anointed. Now, let's take note of that, ladies and gentlemen. You know, when you are in a position against your so-called enemy, will you finish them off? I'm talking about enemies in the flesh, because people are always talking about my enemy, my enemy, my enemy. You know, I don't even think about those things. You know, I may have enemies and I know they are real, but I don't even think about it. It doesn't bother me at all. You know, but some people are always saying my enemy is doing this, my enemy is doing that, you know, so whatever. But David had a chance. And read those stories if you have never read them. Powerful stories, about 4 or 5 chapters there. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 24 through about 28. You know, but he didn't do it. You know, and he said, look, the Lord will deal with him, but I will not put my hand to it. But he did do something to let Saul know that he had a chance to do it. One time he took his spear, another time he cut off something from his, you know, his garment and so on. Said, look, I came this close. I could have killed you. Lord delivered you into my hands, but I wouldn't do it, you know. And the thing began to prick Saul in his heart. You know, Saul finally said, you are more righteous than me. And he said, look, why are you going after me? You've got the kingdom. I'm just nothing. I'm the dead flea here. What's the king of Israel struggling to kill a dead flea for? And David was even so humble. He knew he was already anointed to be the king. See, David was already anointed to be the king. God was going to get rid of Saul. That's why Saul was so angry against him, you know. And David was his replacement. But David would not take the law into his hands. He just waited for his time to come. He wasn't going to do anything against the king. You know, he wouldn't do it, you know, even though the Lord presented opportunity in front of him, it looked like. Because it was a test. And he passed the test. Now, can we pass the test against our enemies? Well, we should. Otherwise, we cannot have dominion. That's why the Lord said from the beginning, let them be in our image and after our likeness, and then they shall have dominion. God's not going to give anybody dominion until you come into his image and likeness. Because if he did, you'd be going about trying to kill your enemies. You know, so have the image come into his likeness and God's character first. Hallelujah. Now, you know, we know, so that's the story of David. Princes persecute me and so forth, you know, but my heart standeth in all of thy word. I rejoice at thy word. I love this one, you know, and it's another one that you should, you know, mark down. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I mean, it's like this man found treasure, won the lottery or whatever. I don't play the lottery and believers should not, but I'm just using that analogy. You know, but it's like, look, I won this great lot. I found great spoil. you know, but that's how the rejoicing of the word of God in his heart was, like someone that found great treasure, you know. My goodness, that's good. I hate and abhor lying. The Lord does that too, you know. Outside the holy city are dogs and all liars, and everything, anyone that loveth and maketh a lie, all out of there. You know, God loves, you know, truth. His word is truth. Let me move on and try to wrap this up here. Seven times a day do I praise thee. Really? Now, let me ask you this. Do you suppose that this praising the Lord that he's talking about here is, he just says, praise the Lord. And then an hour later, I say, praise the Lord. And then that's number two. Then another hour later, I praise. No! David spent time in the presence of the Lord. It wasn't just, you know, a quick praise the Lord, you know. So let's learn. This was why the man was after God's heart. That's the way the Lord saw him. And that's the reason why God chose his throne to set upon. Because when you're around that throne, you can't be around the throne of David, first of all, if you don't know how to praise the Lord. So you show me someone that doesn't know how to praise the Lord, and I'll show you somebody that's not going to be around the throne of David. That's right. Because David gave commandment to the sons of Asaph, to everybody, to the priest also, on how they would sing and praise the beauty of holiness and instruments and so on that they must use. And if you are surrounded the throne of David, you're going to better know how to praise. So get some practice how to praise the Lord. If you don't know how to praise the Lord, you might not be around that throne, you know. And that's where the Lord is going to be. Where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. Where are you going to be? You're going to be far away from the throne when that's where Jesus sat at. Or you're going to be right there because you know how to praise the Lord. Your praise will draw you in. That's right. You heard it. Praise will draw you in towards that, you know, throne of David. And if Jesus is setting, he was set on it, but spiritually speaking, he's already set on it. It's called the sure mercies of David. It's already there right now. Praise will draw you into that. I gave you access to it. Seven times a day, he said, I'll do that because I love thy righteous judgment. Great peace have they which love thy law. That's a good one also to learn. 165. Great peace. You know, learn this one. Commit it to heart. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Ha! Makatori basherima. This is a powerful verse. Now, offenses must needs come, but the people whose minds are stayed in the word of God, nothing shall offend them. You can do anything you want. You know, it's not going to offend them. And Jesus said, blessed is the man who is not offended in me. Why did Jesus say that? Well, one time John the Baptist introduced Christ and everything. And then he got put in the slammer. And so he sent on some of his disciples to Jesus. Go check him out and ask, you know, are you the one that we're waiting for? Or should we look for another? This was the man that already introduced to Christ, telling him, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Now, when he was in prison for a long time and Jesus did not come to his rescue, remember, Jesus was his cousin. Their parents, their mothers were cousins, so they were second cousins. You know, so Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. So Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. And so, but Jesus didn't go there to rescue him. So, I mean, he wondered in his heart. I mean, are you the one? He already introduced him. He already said, the Lord showed me, you know, the dove descending upon him. And he said, look, that's the Lamb. And now you're asking, are you the one? And Jesus made this incredible statement. He said, look, what went you out for to see? A reed shaking in the wind? And Jesus still gave a great flowing testimony about John, you know, because Jesus knows what's in everyone's heart. And he knew the struggles of John at the time. But John's ministry was done. So as Jesus was concerned, you know, John was the voice crying in the wilderness. He did his thing. And Jesus was, you know, moving on to another thing. But you would think, naturally speaking, Jesus would have gone there and busted him out of jail. You know, but he didn't do it. So this man sent a question. Are you the one we're waiting for, or should we look for another? And Jesus said, after all the nice things he said about John, you know, that look of all, you know, of all the women, people born of women, nobody like this man. Well, but those in the kingdom will be greater than him. Then he said, nevertheless, you know, blessed is he who is not offended in me. And I often wondered until the day the Lord showed it to me, all these things I just said to you. I wondered why he would bring something like that when he was talking of something else. Yeah. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. You know, so these people that love the word of God, they will not be offended at anything. Jesus said offenses must come, but woe unto them by whom it comes. But look, let the one who wants to offend, let them create the offenses. But you, your posture should be, I will not be offended. Nothing shall offend them because they love thy word. Hallelujah. You know, Psalm 119 and verse 165. Commit that to memory. Add that to your list of memory verses. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul have kept thy testimonies and I love them, you know, exceedingly. Can you say that? Can I say that? Well, I try, but I don't know I can say it with that confidence, but that's my hope and trust that I can say, I love, you know, testimonies exceedingly. And I know many of you that are in this room do that too. May the Lord grant us the grace to be able to have, you know, such a declaration. I love thy testimonies exceedingly. And I do too. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. That's thy understanding again. Can't get away from it. Let my supplication come before thee and deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise. Woo-hoo. When thou hast taught me thy statutes, my tongue shall speak of thy word. Well, what's in your tongue? That's a commercial. I say, what's in your wallet? Well, my question to you today is, what's on your tongue? Every time you remember that, what's in your wallet, think of this verse. What's in your tongue? You know, what's in your tongue? Is it the word of the Lord? Or is it some other thing? You know, this word of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth. You meditate upon it in your heart, and then you speak it with your word. Well, let the meditations of my heart and the, you know, the words of my mouth, let them both, O Lord, be acceptable unto thee. Well, first, you meditate upon this word in your heart. And next, once you have meditated upon it and digested it, then you begin to speak it with your mouth. Hallelujah. The meditations of my heart, the words of my mouth. You find that in Psalm 19 and verse 14. You know, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, let them be acceptable, O Lord, in thy sight. Something like that. Psalm 19 verse 14. You know, so meditate upon it, speak it in your mouth. So what's in your mouth? What's in your wallet? What's in your mouth? Well, he said, well, what's in my mouth is the word of the Lord. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, and all thy commandments, they are all righteousness. Let thy hand help me, O Lord, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Wow. Can you say that? Remember this man, his prayer made God to stand up and blast with his nostrils. You can read Psalm 18. This man had power with God. I mean, when he prayed, God stood up. God blasted with his nostrils. Coals of fire were kindled by him. I mean, he uttered his voice. I mean, the earth shook and everything because of this man's prayer. This is the man who knew how to work God's praise. That's right. And he knew how to put his heart smack down in the word of God. And he used that word every time he come into prayer before the Lord. He would say, thy hand, thy holy arm has gotten you your victory, Lord. And when you begin to tell the Lord that he's great and he's the, you know, mighty warrior, and the Lord is a man of war and that his hand's getting victory, God will actually flex his arms. Show you. Yeah? Think so? Well, let me show you some. Hallelujah. That's what he said to Jeremiah. Jeremiah told the Lord, thou art the God of all flesh. And the Lord said, you think so? And then he turned around and said, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Look, if you understand how to walk his praise and you declare any of his attributes, the Lord will come back to you in the same. If you say, Lord, you are my healer. Lord say, you think so? Well, I'll show you that. And he will heal you. Hallelujah. You say, Lord, you are my provider. I say, yeah. And I am too. You know, Jesus told them, he said, look, you call me Lord and Master. And so I am. That's right. You know, so when you call him Lord, that's so he is. When you call him healer, and so he is. Call him. Call upon him. Call him these great things. And then he will come back and tell you the same thing. That's how it works. You know, if you say, Lord, you are my deliverer and you're the lifter up of my head, then the Lord will come unto you and say, yeah, you think I'm your deliverer? Well, I'm going to show you some deliverance. I'm going to send forth arrows of deliverance on your behalf. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's how it works. When you call him, he will show forth his power in that realm. He said, look, let your hand help me, you know, for I have chosen your, you know, precepts. You know, I've longed for thy salvation. O Lord, thy law is my delight. Wow. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. My goodness, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy testimonies. And that brings us to the wrap up of this incredible chapter, longest chapter, not only in the book of Psalms, but in the entire Bible, and punctuated in every verse almost by some exclamation from David concerning how he relates to the word of God. Our prayer today is that the Lord will give us understanding. The Lord will give us a passion for the word of God like this man had, you know, and he had an understanding, but he also knew how to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, he knew, you know, how to praise the Lord. That's right. And using the word of God in praising the Lord is a powerful way, you know, to praise the Lord. Just use his word. Use all the great things that you found in these Psalms, you know, and use it to praise the Lord. And the Lord will do great things for us. Praise the Lord. So that's our summary today of all the things that the Lord has given us in this Psalm 119. And here's a good one also, you know, that we have read. You know, he said in Psalm 56, you know, verse 4, in God I will praise his word. Hallelujah. You know, praise his word. Yeah, well, that's another secret there. Use his word in his praise. That's really what that means. You know, and I will praise the Lord with all uprightness of my heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. In summary, I'm going to go through from verse 1 to the end quickly and just call out a few verses as we wrap this up. We started from verse 1 and you know, it talked about, you know, those, you know, that are undefiled in the way and so forth. It talked about in verse 9, you know, how do you cleanse your ways? By taking heed according to the word of the Lord. Verse 11, what have I hid in my heart that I should not sin against you? Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy law. You know, verse 18, open thou my eyes that I should behold wondrous things out of thy law. Verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. I'm just picking out a few of them here. Verse 28, my soul melted for heaviness. Strengthen me according to thy word. Verse 37, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken thou me in the way. Verse 41, let thy mercies come unto me, O Lord, thy salvation and so forth, so that I shall have wherewith to answer the oppressor. You know, for I trust in the Lord. That's so powerful. You know, using the word of God to answer your reproachers. You know, now verse 49, remember thy word, O Lord, unto thy servant, you know, because I hope in you. This is my comfort, even in my affliction, he said, you know, because your word is the one that quickens me. Verse 67 brings out a valuable lesson. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So all of us are instructed to stay with the word, you know, and even if you fall, come right back, because he said, but now I have kept thy word. And we know the story, you know, of Uriah and Bathsheba, and he came right back. Praise the Lord. Well, let's jump to verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, so that I may not be ashamed. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. Well, but he said, I will never forget, you know, the precepts of the Lord. For with them thou hast quickened me. And so on and so forth. Verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Understanding of the word of the Lord will teach you to hate things that are contrary. Verse 105. Favorite one for everyone. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 126, it is time for thee, O Lord, to work, you know, for they have made void thy law. Well, that's a call out against the nations and so forth. Verse 130, my favorite, the entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And we correlated that to Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to about 15. Thy word is very pure, thy servant loveth it. That's verse 140. Verse 144, thy righteousness is thy testimonies. And so forth, you know, give me understanding and I shall live. Praise the Lord. Go to verse 166. Thy word is true from the beginning. And Jesus said it true. He said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is the truth. John 17:17. Now, every one of thy righteous judgment shall endure forever. That's verse 160. You know, and then verse 162, I rejoice at your word as somebody that found great spoil. Verse 164, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteousness. And verse 165, powerful, great peace have they which love the word of the Lord. Nothing shall even move them. Nothing shall offend them. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, really, it stayed on the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then verse 170, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips, verse 171, shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, and all thy commandments are righteous. And now I say the punchline is, what is in your tongue? What's on your tongue? Just like what's in your wallet. Well, that's our lesson, ladies and gentlemen. You know, let's keep that word alive. Word ablaze in our hearts. Powerful, powerful. So the word of God in this psalm, so, so powerful. Well, that concludes lesson number 3. And that concludes the series. I'm going to pray quickly over the room. Then we'll have your reactions. Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus, because indeed the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. You know, and we have read these 3 days, this word of God. We've tried to unpack it and dissect it. And I pray for understanding. I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance these things and enlarge our heart to believe the word of God, and give us the grace, Lord, to chase after the word of God like this man did. As a heart panteth after thee, what a brew, so panteth my heart after thee and thy commandments, O Lord. May that be our prayer. For he said, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And he that doth my commandments, he it is that loves me. And if you love me, he said, I will manifest myself unto you. May the Lord give us the grace to truly love his word, so that we may receive a real manifestation with him. And he will come. He said, I'll come to you, sup with you, stay with you, abode with you, abide with you. We'll make our abode with him. That's one-on-one right there. United with him, he'll be with us. Thank you, Father. May the word of God always be in our mouth. May it never depart out of our mouth. May we speak only the word of God. May we use the word of God as a comfort and a hiding place in every situation, even when oppressors and all our enemies try to afflict us. May we resort always to the word of God like this man did. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.